This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Terra Nova Earth Talks. We speak with cutting-edge experts and wise elders from across the globe on the issues and action our Earth is calling for. Brought to you by the Terra Nova Foundation, driving environmental change through human connection and collective action.
Welcome back to Terra Nova Earth Talks for the second podcast on Te Ao Earth Week. Te Ao Earth Week is an Earth First celebration in Ototahi Christchurch, that's in Aotearoa, New Zealand, where we celebrate the Southern Hemisphere's spring equinox and get everybody engaged in action for our planet. Today we have Hannah Duda with us in the studio to talk about how the week-long event has harnessed the power of business for environmental restoration. Welcome, Hannah.
Kina koe, Rose.
Now, you've been on the podcast before talking about business and the environment and a whole range of things, particularly because you're an entrepreneur. But today we've got you in here talking to our Earth Week and the work that you've been doing with the Christchurch Foundation to bring this whole event alive. So, Hannah, could you remind our listeners what your role is at the Christchurch Foundation and a little about why the foundation is different to what most people might think of as a foundation, a funder or a philanthropic organisation?
Sure. So my role is project manager of all of our kaitiakitanga projects. So anything to do with our whenua, moana, the environment is in my wheelhouse. And we run different projects with different corporate partners and also projects that fit with our aspirations.
And so there's a few words in there that not everyone will be familiar with around the world. So kaitiakitanga, tell us a little bit about what that is and how that manifests.
Sure. So kaitiaki or kaitiakitanga is all around guardianship, and it's the concept of looking after our land and that we are here as guardians, trustees. We're not beneficiaries. We're the ones that are meant to be looking after it. And that whole concept of kaitiakitanga is really about being a warrior and a guardian of our land.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's a Māori word, and it's a beautiful way to remind us that we are merely holding space on this earth. It's not ours to take,
correct,
but to look after. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned whenua. So what does that mean in...
Yeah, so people might hear mana whenua quite a lot, I think, these days. It's used quite often, but whenua just means the land. And then obviously moana, like water or ocean. So just using those reo words when we're talking about the environment.
And that's, and you're using those words because it's local, right? Mm. So that's how we refer to them, to the word and the language of this land. So tell us a little bit more now about what the Christchurch Foundation does to help restoration.
So the Christchurch Foundation, as we said, is a community foundation for Greater Ototahi Christchurch. So we cover Selwyn, Waimakariri and Christchurch Central. And we're, you know, we exist to help generosity in Christchurch. So we help corporates and individuals give back to the city. That can kind of look different. There's a few different ways that we do that. And one of our, I guess, main ways is actually helping businesses fulfill their CSR or ESG. And I know those are two, I'll just already know what you're going to say. So corporate social responsibility or environmental, social or governance kind of goals that corporates have and that a lot of businesses are starting to have strategies around those things. So we can help them fulfill those goals in Christchurch. And a great example of that is our Meridian partnership. So Meridian Energy have been working with us for over 3 years now to fulfill their goals in Greater Ototahi Christchurch. And we have developed a program called the Tui Corridor Project. So that sits obviously under our Kaitiakitanga program. And the Tui Corridor is a project I manage.
Cool. So Meridian's one of the big energy companies in New Zealand, is very committed to sustainability. That's the road that they came to with the Tui Corridor.
Yeah, the Tui Corridor project definitely helped them in a few different ways that they were aiming to, I guess, give back. So the Tui Corridor sits beside their bigger, larger sustainability goals in terms of their carbon neutrality. This one more is around community engagement, increasing biodiversity, and just kind of helping them have a project that harnesses them in Christchurch, because they were actually originally a Christchurch company that started here. Yeah. And the Tui Corridor really helps them see out those three things. And they truly are a business that's walking the walk and not just talking the talk.
So they've got back to their roots almost literally in Christchurch. Mm-hmm. So that's very cool. Now, we spoke to Kate Radcliffe-Reed from RAD. That's the sustainable event agency that's managing Te Ao Earth Week for us in our last podcast. And we talked about how Te Ao Earth Week came about and what people can expect from the week. And there's some amazing things happening across the week, which we're really looking forward to. There's a wonderful business event at Tapai, the convention centre here in the city that is also super committed to the sustainable goals, which is why we were working with them to hold the business event there. And the whole week is in partnership with Christchurch NZ, which is the economic development agency here in the city, who's very committed to a regenerative economy. And not only that, we're also, we've got student-led activities, and then we've got the whole community getting out in nature over the weekend with lots of opportunities to get engaged over the 23rd, 24th of September. But I'm going to come circle back to those in a tick, because you're involved in this week, and I'm keen for you to actually for us to dive a little bit deeper, but for you to say how you're involved and how that came about.
Yeah, so basically we had, I'll start from the beginning of how that all came about. We had businesses talking to us who were bringing conferences to Christchurch. Mm. So whether that was through Christchurch NZ or the International Airport, we just had people going, look, there's businesses and corporates from around the world wanting to bring conferences to Ōtautahi Christchurch, and they're asking about this legacy piece. And, you know, the impact they have of bringing a conference here can be negative in terms of environmentally, and they want to understand how they can kind of make sure they leave a positive impact and leave a legacy. So we kind of came up with this program that we offer to anyone who's holding an event here. And there's kind of three steps. The first step is trying to get rid of the terrible gifts that people usually give delegates. It's usually plastic. It's usually one-time use because it's made so terribly and it's not great for our environment at all. So the first step is, hey, just stop giving gifts that they don't need. How about you gift a tree? Yeah. And we mean that, obviously, we're not going to give them an actual plant, but they're going to have a tree planted on their behalf as a gift. And so we've had conferences like Trends, the New Zealand Educators Conference, who have actually gifted on behalf of each delegate a tree to our Tui Corridor. And the best thing about that is, you know, it's pretty low cost really in terms of a financial input, but it's actually having a huge benefit on our project and on the overall biodiversity of our city.
It's, do you know, it's so funny how you talk about the bags. Do you know how many environmental events I've been, like environmental events that I've been to where they still have the swag and the swag is all plastic? I'm like, whoa, you guys, you've got to like think about the whole picture, not just the tagline of your event.
So. I literally had, I'm not going to name, but massive, massive sustainability worldwide charity yesterday offer me a bag of swag, and it was stickers, which are terrible. Stickers are the worst. And yeah, lots of different pamphlets and all this swag that sounds cool, but really it's crap. Can I say that?
We'll find out. But no, totally. And even, you know, sometimes it just comes down to the details, right? So you can have FSC paper. So, so the Forest Stewardship Council recognised paper that's sustainable. So you can have that. But then people go and laminate it. And
or put a sticker on it or do things that actually completely,
And then it can't be recycled and so on and so on. So So one of the things that we've been working hard with Tao Earth Week is to think before the event and to plan the whole thing. So there's almost zero input, it's zero footprint. But obviously we can't quite have a zero footprint all the way because we are doing stuff. Inevitably there's an impact. So this is where you came in to go, okay, the bit that we can't avoid and there's no way of avoiding it at the moment, how can we actually do something about that?
Yeah, and I guess the two other kind of steps of the program we're offering are around that offsetting tree planting to actually calculate carbon emissions of an event and help plant trees to offset. And I will just say a disclaimer that I always talk about is that we're not going to plant our way out of this climate crisis, and ideally reducing the carbon output, carbon emissions, is the first step. So you've obviously done that with your conferences, just basically reduce as much as you can. But obviously there's always going to be some emissions there. And yeah, we recently calculated the emissions of travel from 300 delegates coming from Australia here. And, you know, their food, their accommodation, their transfers from the airport, their flights, everything. And we have planted that amount of, to offset that carbon of plants into our Tui corridor. So that's the next step we can offer. And the third is completely offset the whole event, which we would actually work with a third party who is rad, as you know, to help offset the whole conference. But with Te Ao Earth Week, what we're doing is through our Tui corridor, we are donating some plants to have schools that are have put their hands up to be part of this amazing week, and they're going to plant, I think, over 500 trees, which, yeah, is actually an amazing, you know, amount of trees when you calculate the carbon sequestration that they will have. And it's a really cool project. I believe the schools are Villa Maria, Rudolf Steiner, Te Pa, Papa Nui High School, and the University of Canterbury are also jumping on board, which is awesome.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing for us is it's all student-led. So it's not the students being told to dig holes. it's the students getting behind this and making it happen, which is just so fantastic. You've mentioned trees. You know, when we talk trees, there are trees and then there are trees. I presume we're not talking plantations here, Hannah.
No, no. And I should be using the term plants, and they're native plants. So we have a mix of trees and shrubs, and they are all native. And under this project, they're all tui friendly. So they all have some kind of nectar, flower, so that the tui can actually feed on these plants. But there are some kahikatea in there, our tallest tree in Aotearoa. So there are some trees that I would define as a tree. But yeah, we're not talking about plantations or forests that are going to be chopped down. They're very much trees forever. The organisations we work with and where we plant them, a lot of them even have covenants on the land that this is going to be a native forest forever. So we're very careful about where we put the plants.
Yeah, we have this wonderful thing in Aotearoa, New Zealand, where you can covenant the land. And that's essentially, there's a very long legal description for that. But the short version is that land is for native bush and forest for perpetuity. That's it. You can't, if you buy the land, you have to also buy the covenant. You can't then just cut it all down.
Yeah. And it's a really important part to be thinking about that, especially when you are talking about carbon and, you know, we need the tree to be there forever. And it is also, you know, we're not going to be able to plant the whole, we're going to run out of land at some point. So it is important to think about how we reduce, how we cut carbon emissions. However, there's, you know, Banks Peninsula itself still has about 80%. Of land that we could plant. So we've got a lot of way
we've
to go.
We've got a lot of space. I think we'll be all right on the land front. But yeah, no, the thing that people might not realise too is sometimes when they offset, they could be planting a tree in a different country. That's not the case here either.
No, which we love about our program. I think in terms of gifting trees or offsetting your carbon by buying trees, the best thing about our program is it's you're going to buy it from the Christchurch Foundation. It's going to be planted by Christchurch volunteers on our land, our whenua here, and will forever be here. So, you know, delegates that have gone to any of these events could actually come back in 10 years and see that tree if they wanted to. We even had some delegates from that Australia group plant, you know, over probably about 200 in an hour, and they will easily be able to come back and see those trees in a few years. So, yeah, it is quite a cool project, and it is a real way to leave a legacy.
Yeah, that's that. I must add too that we have local nurseries as well who are producing those. So it's a really tight loop in terms of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And also, we've got once the trees are planted, they're not left. So a lot of carbon offsetting people, they plant their tree, but there's no kind of management of that tree from that point on, which, you know, the odds aren't great for things surviving if you just let them sit there, especially if it's newly restored land.
Yes.
So do you do things to ensure that there's some sort of management?
Yeah, we definitely work with organisations who we know are maintaining those areas as well, not just planting and leaving. But I definitely encourage, if you're part of a group who want to do a volunteer day, to actually offer your services for maintenance. It's quite fun and satisfying, in my opinion, going around and actually pulling out kind of grass that's growing around the plants that have been planted. And there is something about that kaitiakitanga myth, you know, concept that you should be looking after the plant you plant. Mm. It's not just about planting and running away. It's actually, it needs guardianship. It needs to be looked after. So we are encouraging a lot of our groups that are doing the planting days to go back, you know, whether it's in 6 months or a year, to actually offer that volunteer time to maintain. Because, yeah, people don't love the idea of weeding, but putting the plant in, we can get volunteers for that easily. But offering your services to actually help through groups like conservation volunteers, they're constantly doing that. So, definitely reaching out and offering those services is very helpful.
Because with Terranova, one of the key things that we talk about is connection. Mm. So we're constantly disconnecting from our earth. You know, we can be in a library all day studying. We can be in an office all day. Mm-hmm. And then by the time we get home, it's just, you know, we open and close the door. We've spent 5 seconds outside. Mm. So it is a good way for businesses to be a bit more human and get their staff really connected back in.
Yeah,
because it's not a big commitment.
No way.
You're talking, you know, maybe half a day or a day each year. So it's not a huge...
No, it's definitely a great... And it has so many benefits, as you said, like kind of getting out in nature, mental health, feeling, you know, more connected, and just the team bonding side of it. We ran a planting day with 70 people, and they were all from different companies. There was also a bit of networking and, you know, people meeting each other. And there are so many benefits to getting out there. And I can tell you, I definitely feel... just, you know, great after I've left a planting day. Connecting, as you say, even just digging a hole and looking into the earth and being like, that's what dirt looks like. And, you know, seeing worms, I get so excited when I see worms, which sounds so weird, but, you know, seeing this natural kind of life right in front of me and knowing that I'm giving this plant a good home. And, you know, it can feel, you know, even spiritual, kind of putting it in the ground and just knowing that you've done something. And it's got many, many benefits. And if corporates wanted to do kind of planting days, again, we can offer that kind of service and make that happen.
Oh, that's so cool. So coming back to Tau Earth Week, we have got the students, as we mentioned, they are doing all sorts of activities across the week, but particularly on the Friday, the 22nd of September. And we have got 5 schools and high schools, and the University of Canterbury has a number of things going on, and we can't wait to share some of the activities on that day. The business events on the 21st, and as we mentioned, the 23rd and the 24th is where everyone can get involved. That's the Saturday and the Sunday. The Saturday is, in fact, the spring equinox, the day that we actually celebrate spring, which is quite funny because I've must have 4 or 5 people already who have said, it's spring has started. It's the 1st of September. And it's like, no.
It's just the nice, clear. I mean, we had it at the office. We had all sorts of spring celebrations. And to be fair, that day was a lovely day. So I think people really felt it here in Aotearoa. But I agree. I've always had that 23rd of September date in my brain. And it's when daylight savings happens. And so I feel like we kind of...
It's an earth rhythm,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
It's a pretty cool time. So we're encouraging people to get out in Aotearoa Christchurch. There's events right in the centre of town with the community waterways project, and on the Sunday there's a a whole lot of things, a whole raft of things happening at the Climate Action Campus on Avonside Drive. And then we have all sorts of trails and tracks that people can go out and just get outdoors. And we're going to have share some ideas for instance, again, your veggie garden well underway that cool. weekend. So there's if no matter what you want to do outside, there's something for you on that weekend. So thanks very much, Hannah, for coming in and talking about that. We will update you after the conference, I think, and let you know exactly what happened mm-hmm. with those plantings, and maybe even share some those images. Just link up to terranova.foundation and you'll see Te Ao Earth Week on there, and get all the details for what's happening over the weekend. And we also have the link to Christchurch Foundation. Could you give us the website for Christchurch Foundation?
Sure. So bettercity.nz.
Bettercity.nz. And if you're elsewhere in the world and you would love to be engaging here, but you're not here, you're not here on the ground, then get in touch. We next year we are going global. So next year we are looking at connecting up with sister cities across the world and sharing some of these activities and getting students to engage in some of the cool stuff that's happening here in New Zealand in their home
cool.
Around the world. So do get in touch if you'd like to be part of that for 2024. Thanks again, Hannah.
No worries.
And bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Terra Nova Earth Talks. For more information on the content and links from this podcast, go to the Terra Nova website. That's terranova.foundation. To listen to other interviews in this series, go to the Plains FM website. That's plainsfm.org.nz. Search for Terra Nova Earth Talks. Also on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Bye for now.